Hello and welcome to the Talk About Teddy podcast, weekly conversations exploring the world of Theodore Roosevelt. I'm your host, Kurt Skinner, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Larry Marple. This week, we look at an exciting project underway, which is eagerly anticipated by TR admirers and presidential history buffs alike, the promise of a new presidential library and museum dedicated to our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. All U.S. presidents since our 31st president, Herbert Hoover, have had their official papers collected in presidential libraries overseen by the National Archives, usually accompanied by privately funded presidential museums. Theodore Roosevelt has numerous sites dedicated to him within the National Park Service, many of which are located in his home state of New York. But as our nation's 26th president, he has never had his own presidential library and museum. Until now, that is. Currently under construction on a high bluff outside Medora overlooking the North Dakota Badlands is the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum. And to find out more about the genesis for this project and what future visitors can hope to see when the site opens in 2026, we talked with today's guest, Amy McCann, who is Community Relations Director for the TR Library and Museum.
Amy McCann, welcome to the Talk About Teddy podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
How did you become involved with the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library?
I get that question quite often. I am a Medora resident where the library is being built. My family and I moved here about 11 years ago now. And we love living in Medora. It's a beautiful town. And back in the summer of 2020, I attended a community event that the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library was hosting with some of the architects. And I was just blown away. I was so impressed by how transparent everyone was. I was impressed by how they were listening to the community and were taking what the community was saying, and you could see that in the work that they were doing. And I really just wanted to be a part of the process. So yeah. That's how I got started.
Are you still in the offices downtown Medora?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I helped open up the office that's right across from the post office. And that's where we work. A lot of us work out of. In the summertime, I do have a summer seasonal staff person that helps greet visitors and answers questions and invites people in to talk about the project.
People don't come in that front office and say, "Wow, I thought it'd be bigger."
Yeah, they do all the time. They're like, "This is it."
Yeah, more
it's
to come.
A good conversation starter. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Right.
Well, we hear this out and about, and you probably only hear it about 10 times a day is, I thought Theodore Roosevelt already had a museum, or I thought he already had some national historic site, or, you know, there's presidents with a lot lesser accomplishments than TR who have libraries. Why doesn't he have one yet?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
That's the first question that we get when people come through the door. And, you know, it's sometimes people don't even know what a presidential library is, you know. So we usually start that conversation of what a presidential library is. And to quote like the National Archives, you know, presidential libraries are archives and museums, and it brings all of the documents and artifacts of a presidency and their administration into one place for the public to be able to go in and study those documents. Now, presidential libraries weren't created until a lot later than TR. And so the first presidential library was our 31st president, President Hoover, and then, you know, and TR being the 26th. And so after his presidency, a lot of his papers got housed in different places and kind of spread out. So a lot of those things have been digitized, or that you can go and look at. It might be a little bit harder than what a presidential library is. what makes us, I guess, different from those presidential libraries, if you think about it, we're not a place of archives. We're not associated, you know, with the National Archives. And so our focus is more of just the museum portion of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So where will the museum or library be located and why was the location selected?
Medora, North Dakota was chosen because of Roosevelt's relationship with the area. We're pretty close to where his ranch was. It is close by, and we are adjacent from the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. And this is where Roosevelt came out for an adventure at first. While he was here, he, you know, forged this vision of what he wanted to see, I think, in our nation. And he fell in love with the place. He fell in love with all of the people here. But then he also, you know, we talk about just that cradle of conservation, how his conservation ethic started here, because he started to see things go away. And the library being built in Medora right next to a national park is an amazing opportunity for visitors. We get quite a bit of visitors to the national park, mm-hmm. and this will be another location for them, you know, to go to. We love talking about how this will be the first presidential library that you can reach by hiking to it, by bicycling to it, or if you wanted to ride a horse to it, you'll be able to ride a horse to it. And, I love the idea of, you know, our library being a base camp or a stepping stone to the national park, but also the national forest in which, you know, he created. We're surrounded by national forest. And so it's, mm-hmm. It's a great, you know, a great location. We always talk about like how TR's spirit is, you know, here in Medora, that this is his spiritual home, where his love of nature more came to life in that conservation ethic and wanting to preserve our natural wonders of our country. And so, you know, we always talk about TR coming here to heal following the loss of his mother and his wife, and how he overcame that great loss while he was here. And so it's a beautiful place, and, you know, he loved it, and we love it too. We love him. So
I'm looking forward to seeing the hitching post out front of the museum.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you get a lot of pushback from New Yorkers who say, hey, you know, he's a favorite son of New York. He lived so much of his life here. We have other sites. We got his birthplace, his inaugural. We've got Sagamore Hill. And so I think you're probably a little tired of answering that why North Dakota question so often. Mm-hmm. But as I understand, your governor, Doug Burgum, has been pretty instrumental in pushing for this site. And when it came to choose a CEO for the TR Presidential Library, who did he choose, and why do you suppose he chose him?
You know, that's a really good question. Ed O'Keefe is a North Dakotan, but he also lives in New York too. So he has both of those connections between North Dakota and New York. And I would say Ed has a lot of energy, and he has a lot of passion himself. So that is a really great question, but I really enjoy working with him, and he has a lot of passion for our vision, you know? So, yeah.
A guy that understands New York and North Dakota, right?
Or North Dakota. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Sounds a lot like TR himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you mentioned it'll be in Medora, where will it be exactly?
It's like a quarter mile outside of the town. And, you know, the town is really small. We're about mile radius. And so you just cross the river and you head up Chateau Road, passing the State Historic Site. And at the top is where the Medora Musical is located. And then we'll be just west of that. And, you know, that site was selected for multiple reasons. You know, it was a very rigorous process. Whenever we think about artifacts and things that may live in the library, there are lots of rules that you need to follow. And so the location, it's above the 500-year floodplain. So we need a lot more space. And then we wanted to not just create a building, we wanted to curate an experience and make sure that we are bringing in those conservation ethics and demonstrating those on the landscape, and making sure that we're teaching people some of those values and as well.
And I was reading that there was a transfer of like 90 acres from the U.S. Forest Service that took a certain amount of wrangling, congressional level and government level, I guess, to have those acres transferred. But just one more interesting tie-in, right? It was the U.S. Forest Service that was created in Roosevelt's presidency, and so one more thing comes to fruition full circle here.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. An act of Congress and had to be signed by the president. So,
Well, I'm looking at your website, trlibrary.com, at the section called The Project, and it has this amazing architectural rendering of the site, what it will look like up on that bluff overlooking the Badlands. And it's really beautiful. It's a stunning overlook, and it just blends right into the scenery. So I was going to ask you to maybe speak to that, architectural and landscape kind of vision that that you had for the library.
You know, Snohetta is the design architect, and they were chosen out of a rigorous process. I believe it started off as 35, and then it kept dwindling down and down and down, and then ended up with three. And we had a request for proposal, and then that's when the architects came, you know, into Medora, the three, and then the community got to see, you know, those three proposals. And Snohetta, I feel like they really captured the vision, you know, that we were going after. You know, we want to not only take the visitors on a journey inside the library, we want that journey to be outside as well. So the building is part of the landscape, and the landscape is part of the building. And the building right now, and even in the design, the competition, it hasn't changed much. It's still two buildings with a shared roof. And the roof is traversable, and it will be planted with native plugs that has been located from the area. And so, you know, we have all of these themes that encompass Theodore Roosevelt's life inside the library and outside the library. And so the love of the outdoors that he had is going to be shown, you know, in both of those places. Even the outside, we have a walkway, a boardwalk that goes all the way around the top of the bluff. And so it, you know, starts at the library, goes all the way around and connects back to the library. It's a little over half a mile. And there's these experiences, you know, even outside where you see different parts of the landscape. Sometimes you see the north facing sides of the buttes or the south facing sides of the buttes. Sometimes you see these big, beautiful views, and other times you're really close to the earth.
Yeah, that's cool. You're going to have that, native species, restoration right there. And so, it's not going to be some manicured lawn.
No.
People go
It
out there,
isn't.
it's native. That's really cool.
going back to your question of location, you know, we're really close to Yellowstone, and we're really close to Mount Rushmore. Those are half a day drive. And for us, it would be great to start connecting people that always go to just Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore, yep, that do that trip, and, you know, create this this experience. Maybe we're the first place that you go, you know, and whenever you come here, you start to learn about Theodore Roosevelt and his conservation ethic and his love for the national park system and his creation of the Antiquities Act to create even more national parks. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're the first stop before you go to Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone. Yeah.
Well, speaking of visitation, is it too early to project what you might hope in the first few years to attract in to the library?
Yeah, it is difficult to project visitation to the area. We could take the numbers from the Park Service, you know, how many visitors are visiting the park, and we can look at the visitation of Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone and maybe take a percentage out of that and say, okay, we can attract, you know, some people from those places. And then we've even looked at who would be the new visitors. Lots of opportunities to get the new visitor, maybe not just the visitor that's visiting national parks, but visitors that visit presidential libraries or conventions that we can attract, you know, to our area too. So we've predicted somewhere around 350,000 visitors in the first 3 years. We've had lots of different people looking at it, and so that we're taking information from the experts, and they're saying that our visitation will be high the first 3 years, and then we would get, you know, what our base number is, you know, after those first 3 years. Because it's a new thing and everyone wants to come and, see the new thing. Yeah.
On your website, it says that the Presidential Library will show visitors what they can learn from TR and his legacy and not just things about him. Could you tell us about the mission, the values, the vision, and the principles of the library?
Yeah. So our mission is to explore TR's life, his legacy and enduring relevance. And then our vision is to inspire action and fearless participation in the arena. Our values are to dare greatly, think boldly, live passionately, and care deeply. And our principles is citizenship, leadership, and conservation. And whenever we take you through this experience in the library, where you're guided by TR, you're not just learning about him, you're learning from him. And we tell you this, his story from cradle to grave. And throughout that whole experience, we have carefully looked at our values and our principles. And in every story of TR's life, we're asking ourselves, you know, what are the values that people are getting out of this story and the next and the next, and same with the principles. And so the idea is to, as people are learning and being guided, you know, by TR in what we're calling a people's library. It's not just, you know, books and items that you're looking at, but you're actually being immersed into the experience where you become a rancher, you become a rough rider, you become a leader. And throughout all of the things that TR did, you're doing those same things and answering questions and being challenged as you go through the library. So it's a very immersive, interactive type of museum. And we hope and we know that we'll evoke strong emotions, you know, emotions that maybe it'll make you cry, or maybe it'll make you smile, or maybe it'll make you really think about, you know, what it is to be a good citizen. And whenever you finish this, you learn, of course, about TR's legacy and all of the things that he had given us. But you'll go in, the very last gallery is called the People's Gallery. And that's where you've just come through all of it with TR, and then contemplate, have an opportunity to look out into the Badlands and think about what it is that you've learned, and then what it is that you can take back with you to your community.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I know when you had the mock-up at the Chateau de Moras, I went in there with my wife, Julia, and we were dressed as TR and Edith, and to see the holographic image of young TD, to see the portraits of Mitty and Theodore Sr. moving. Maybe it's where the line blurs between me and portraying TR, but I got choked up, and it was a very, I mean, I was only in there a couple minutes, and so it will be quite an experience.
Yeah, and that was just a prototype.
Yeah.
Just imagine what the real thing is going to be like.
So these experiential displays kind of intentionally will be drawing youngsters in as well.
What Larry was talking about is about TR's childhood. You know, it's not a replica of his childhood home. It's the wonders of his childhood. And his inspirations that he gained from that. And I'll never forget when we first set that up, there were a few ladies that were, they were grandparents. They had their grandkids there with them, but they went over and they opened up one of the drawers, and out come all these fireflies out of the drawer, and they just giggled and laughed, and it was very childlike there. You know, it was almost like it brought their childhood to life. Yeah. And they just loved it. It was such a great experience for me to be able to see those interactions with their grandchildren and them. So yeah, it will draw kids, but there's no age limit.
It's of all ages.
All ages.
Like, interactive dioramas, almost, it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, citizenship, leadership, conservation, those are all the core of TR's principles, and that which you're trying to encourage in visitors. Another initiative that your library and museum has taken on even before you open your doors is this new podcast hosted by Ted Roosevelt V called Good Citizen. And we have started listening in on episodes and really enjoyed that. So I was wondering if you could kind of talk about what's the focus of this new podcast sponsored by the TR Presidential Library, and how do you see that fitting into the mission of your institution?
Yeah, that great principle of citizenship. We all like to have some sort of impact in the world that we live in. Do good, be kind, make a difference. We ask ourselves, what does make a good citizen? And start thinking about those questions and what that means to us, what that means to our community. How do I participate in my community? Having a sense of social awareness and purpose and responsibility, you know, how everyone can contribute, big or small. You know, maybe it's just voting, maybe it's just obeying the laws, or maybe it's, you know, running for office, or being a part of something in your community. But I think that it's also just having an open mind and being open to hearing and listening about others' ideas too. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, I think we have 9 episodes now.
I think I've listened to almost all of them. Okay. You know what I love is how, you know, obviously one of TR's big mantras was get action. And Ted Roosevelt finishes each episode, right, with he'll ask the guests to suggest an action that citizens can take to maybe promote constructive problem solving and ways to be an engaged citizen in their communities. And, you know, like, give me some constructive ways and some action points here. And, you know, I love that, just trying to get people to think out loud on what does positive, engaged citizenship look like in this self-governing republic.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that the library won't be a traditional repository of all the materials of TR, collected papers and all that. Will there be research opportunities there?
Our library doesn't have the traditional, you know, go into a room, ask for certain papers, and it being brought out to you. We don't have that. But there is the Theodore Roosevelt Center in Dickinson. And we did just acquire a collection of papers of Edmund Morris. They were just delivered. I think there were like 151 banker boxes just stuffed with materials. We purchased those and we have them housed at the Theodore Roosevelt Center. So we have this partnership with Dickinson State University for them to house them and then later for people to go and do research there, because they do have the facilities there where those can be housed and the abilities for people to go in. But they have a lot of work to do because, like I said, they have to go through being rehoused and put in, you know, in archival envelopes and boxes. And then they need to be organized and searchable. So you'll be able to still, you know, go on the TR Center's website and find, you know, where those things are. But you'll have to go to the TR Center to actually dig in to some of that research. So it's extensive. It's going to take a lot of time and effort. I got to go and see some of the materials, and you know, the researchers there are just really excited about having all of Edmund Morris's notes on TR.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good conversation with Dr. Chris O'Brien, the TR Center director, several episodes ago. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that, and he was pretty excited about that acquisition. And yeah, that's going to give a lot of work to a lot of people for a number of months and beyond. So it's a great resource to have. Yeah. And so, you know, for those who are unfamiliar with Western North Dakota, you know, Dickinson State, where the TR Center is located, is what, less than an hour away from where the library and museum is going to be?
Yeah, about 35 miles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kind of hoping to share some of that mission, obviously, of the digitized archive that is TR, since, as you mentioned, you've already got so much of his collected materials were donated to Harvard and Library of Congress at the end of his presidency and then his death. And so, yeah, tremendous resources. I think I forgot to ask you a little bit earlier on, just how far along is the library in its construction?
Yeah, we started construction in June of 2023. And we have right now to date, the east buildings, all of the footings and foundations are complete. In the west building, it is probably 95% complete in the west building. The auditorium walls are all up in the east building as well.
Wow.
And the grading has been done on the site for the road coming into the library, and the library's parking lot is all graded. And then about 219 geothermal wells have been put into what we're calling the shared parking lot. We have a shared parking lot with the Medora Musical. And we've come a long way since June. And the first steel column will be placed here at the beginning of April. And all of that steel will be delivered at the beginning of April. It'll take some time to get all of it to the site. But this summer, you'll see the shape of the building.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be a great sight to see. The retaining wall is done. So whenever you guys are out in Medora, we'll go up there. We'll do a site tour, and we'll walk up to the top of the retaining wall, which is about 25 feet up in the air, I think. And you can just see so much. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. You can see the river from up there.
Great. Before it gets a grass-covered roof over here. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'll be neat to see it before the roof goes on.
Well, how is the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library funded? And how can our listeners help support the project?
So the Presidential Library is funded by private donors. The state has established an endowment fund, and the proceeds of that endowment fund provides money for operations, but mainly it's supported by private funds. The challenge was we had to raise quite a bit before construction can start for J.E. Dunn, you know, to have that assurance to start. So we raised almost $200 million by the time that J.E. Dunn started. We still have a ways to go. We still have more money to raise. But what I think is unique about that is, you know, whenever we think about this money being raised and construction happening, you know, a lot of that money is staying right here in our community. About 75% of the contractors are out of Dickinson. So it's really great to see that impact that the construction is having on our local economy. Yeah, if people are interested in donating, you can go to our website at trlibrary.com. There's a way on there that you can donate. We also have a P.O. box. I've had people mail in checks here to our office, P.O. box 338, Medora, North Dakota, 58645. But all of that can be found on our website as well.
Yeah, I understand it was, early on, you had the North Dakota legislature, right, that had a $50 million endowment that was contingent on coming up with $100 million initially with matching from private sources, and that all went through. And I think Governor Burgum had a tremendous amount to do with that on encouraging the legislature and the people in North Dakota to support that. And that's great. Yeah,
that was really great. And I think what I would just like to remind people is that it's an endowment. So we only get a little bit, you know, off of that every year. And that endowment that the state signed to us is just for operations. It's not for the bricks and mortar, the building of the library. All of that still has to be fundraised for. And, you know, one of the challenges that we have right now is the cost of construction. It's been challenging. I think everyone is feeling that. And if you're constructing something these days, you understand that. But I've been really impressed by J.E. Dunn Construction. They knew, you know, there would be items that would have long lead times, and were ordering some of those things while the designers were still designing. We knew that there were some things that they could go ahead and order that would have long lead times, that they were doing that. So they had a lot of forethought in getting that so we can make our, you know, target date. So.
Yeah. I mean, the library being conceived pre-COVID, and then COVID happens, and then we have all of our shortfalls on construction materials, and everything costs so much more to build anything now. So a real challenge, but so you won't turn down any private contributions from folks when they send money your way. Okay.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Very good. So what is our anticipated opening date then? Have we asked that question on when we are shooting for a grand opening of the TR Presidential Library and Museum?
Yeah. Well, so we are set to open for July 4th of 2026. That date marks our 250th anniversary of our country. It's the semi-quincentennial. Love saying that, semi-quincentennial. And yeah, we're excited about that date and having that, having the library opening at that time.
Well, when someone comes to the presidential library when it does open, what can they expect for accommodations? I know Medora is a small town in western North Dakota.
It is a small town in western North Dakota. And, we have a lot of the amenities or accommodations that you would typically see with hotels and campgrounds and restaurants in Medora. In the summer times, those places are at 95% capacity or more. So
Wow.
you definitely have to plan ahead, far enough ahead. If you're wanting to be in the town of Medora, there are some places, in surrounding communities that you could stay as well. Of course, Dickinson,
Yeah.
that we mentioned earlier, is only 35 miles away, or about a 40-minute drive, and some people will fly into Dickinson as well. There's an airport there too. They have quite a bit of hotels and restaurants. And then you know what? We can't forget about Watford City. It's Watford, the town north of the North Unit. So even if you're coming to Medora for for the day or maybe a couple of days, there's also Watford City to keep in mind. And the North Unit of Theodore Roosevelt National Park is up by that way. It is a lot farther. It's a I think it's more like 70 miles, up to there. But, there's a unit of the National Park Service that's beautiful up there too. So I think that there's opportunity. If Medora is full, then there are surrounding communities that would love to have visitors at them too.
Wow, that's only 2 years away.
I
So
know.
those of us who've been hearing about this for a few years now, it's exciting that we're coming up on 2 years from a grand opening, and so folks can continue to follow your progress through updates on your website, and as I understand, you have a newsletter if folks want to sign up, and they can stay abreast of construction and that sort of thing. Well, it's been wonderful to get an insider's view of what's happening with the library museum there that's going in. And for folks who have yet to make it to North Dakota, like you said, in the meantime, they can come out to Medora, they can see TR National Park, and they can go to the musical and just adjacent to where all this construction's happening and see your progress when they come.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, they can see the building being built. We are on social media too, and we'll be putting updates on there as well.
Wonderful.
Well, that'll be a great addition to the Theodore Roosevelt Triangle for the Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore, and the National Park and the library.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think Larry and I pray that we will be on hand with a live podcast when during your grand opening. That's where we've set a goal for ourselves. It's a long distance goal, but
Yes, that would be
Yeah,
fabulous. There's lots of stories that our building will be able to tell. So not just
yeah.
about Theodore Roosevelt, but
Yeah.
about the conservation behind even our building.
Yeah. Well, Amy McCann, thank you so much for
We're
being a
really
part of
looking
this
forward to it.
conversation.
Yeah,
Yeah,
thank
thank
you.
you for the invite. I appreciate it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this conversation with Amy McCann, the Community Relations Director for the TR Library and Museum. You can find out more about their ongoing construction, about how to perhaps contribute to the project underway, and sign up for their newsletter at their website, trlibrary.com. And you can find more information on our website, talkaboutteddy.com. Look under the show notes for the TR Presidential Library, Episode 9.
We want to thank each of you for listening. We would love to do an episode directed by you, our listeners.
So please send any questions that you might have on Theodore Roosevelt, and we'll do our best to share the answers on an upcoming episode.
You can email us your questions at talkaboutteddypodcast@gmail.com. And you can also submit your questions on our contact page on our website, talkaboutteddy.com.
And we look forward to your bully questions. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening.
You can find this podcast on our website, talkaboutteddy.com, where you can see show notes and transcripts, links to resources, and additional TR content. And please tell us what you think.
If you've enjoyed our content, please consider subscribing and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen, and tell your friends and family about us, because it really does make a tremendous difference and it helps others find this show.
We hope you'll join us for the next episode of Talk About Teddy. And until then, as our friend Colonel Roosevelt would say,
do what you can with what you have where you are.
Bullet.